WAPJ is in its historic 20th year of providing quality programming to Northwest Connecticut community. As part of it presenting the history, we present a panel discussion featuring the talent of WAPJ broadcasters. In this panel, we are featuring the music broadcasters. I would like to introduce each of the panelists. Today, we have Alicia DeLibro.
Hello.
Alicia, could you tell with the share with the audience what your program is and when it's on?
I run Alternative Anthems. It's on at 6 a.m. Saturday morning, so you have to be up early with the chickens, right, Darcy?
Yes. That's right.
Chickens and the roosters and the stars, although it is lighter in the morning now that we've changed our clocks back. And Alternative Anthems is kind of a throwback to what I played in college. I was on the air in college. A lot of 80s, mostly 80s, a little bit of 90s, alternative, what they called college or independent indie music. So,
and Alicia is also our social media manager for WAPJ. And a special interview with Alicia is also going to be airing during this particular week of History Week. So thank you, Alicia, for being on the program.
Thank you.
Also on the panel is Darcy Abbott. Darcy, your program.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. My program is The Hotspot with Darcy, and my platform, basically, I provide a platform for all the local original musicians in Connecticut and the New England area. So that's my focus, is being that platform.
And your program is on Mondays
4 to 7 p.m.
Right. And I always on my particular program, I like to give a shout out to your program. I've always been grateful for the fact that when my program first started, you were the one who took the time, your own personal time, to make sure that my program went on the air. So
well, it was my pleasure. It's a good program.
Thank you for that.
And I also highlight local businesses and organizations, and that's what I originally kind of started with, along with the local music. But yeah, I just, you know, I'm here to get everybody, you know, a few minutes of their time, you know, a few minutes of fame. Everybody gets it.
And that part of engagement in the community is something that we're going to be talking about during our particular discussion. So thank you, Darcy. Also on our panel is Chris Lavallo.
Thanks for having me. My show is Chris's A to Z. It's on every Thursday from 7 to 9. I've been with WAPJ since March of 2013. And my show is the catch line, anything from Andrea Bocelli to Led Zeppelin. It's mostly classic rock, but I play all kinds of music. I play some country, some blues once in a while, maybe a jazz standard every now and then, some easy listening, even a comedy track or two.
So it's an entire, it is a musical education.
It's a trip through the musical alphabet known as Chris's A to Z. I also have a featured artist. Usually every week I'm trying to spotlight one. I sprinkle it in and out through my playlist. And I also have a house band as well.
Well, I want to get back to that house band and talk about that during our discussion. But first I want to also introduce our last panelist on this is Barry Soucy.
Thanks for having me, J.J. Mythic Work. I started at WAPJ in December of 06, and I started with a folk music show. And years later, it kind of morphed into doing different shows and then ended up with the Miscellaneous Morning Show, which I've been doing pretty much exclusively now since about 09.
And the Miscellaneous Morning Show is definitely the way that many people find their way in to WAPJ, because once they hear a segment. We heard in a prior segment, Jacques Williams had the opportunity to go on the air with you, and then his feel-good show is now a staple, a must-listen on WAPJ. I was a guest on your show as well, and now I have a program as well. So it seems like that you use your show as a means to help other people, just like Darcy now, of getting word out into the community.
And with that, I thought there'd be pie here this evening, but there's not. So
well, that's
this is all going to stop.
Think about intellectual pie.
25-year anniversary.
Oh, 25.
Yeah.
Oh,
25 is pie.
But in celebrating our 20th anniversary at WAPJ, there is a wonderful history that we all share, and I want to kind of get your history, to preserve that history, because folks that may want to listen to this in the future want to know what WAPJ was like and what it is now. Now, 2013, Chris, you first started at WAPJ. How did you discover it?
I had been aware of its existence for quite some time, since its origination back in 1997, I want to say. And I always sort of had an interest in getting into radio. And then March 2013 came around, and one of my brothers, my middle brother, who's he's in commercial radio and has been in radio for years, he had his own show down here, and through him and John Ramsey and Mark Channon and Barry, they got me to the orientations and the classes, and sure, go away, have a show, and share my musical enjoyment and experiences with everybody. And I like to keep things upbeat, too. I like upbeat music, anybody who listens to my show.
And just to clarify, did Barry assist you in your training?
Is that yes,
you...
he did.
Now, Barry also assisted. He assists each generation of training. In fact, everyone at this table, Barry has trained. Barry, how did you get into that training aspect of WAPJ?
When I first started in 06, there wasn't a lot of organized training that went on. And it was... you know, just sit down, see if you could run the board, and then off you went. So I took it upon myself to start working with a lot of the new air personalities to make sure that they were adapted to what was going on, so they could do a show properly, so they could present themselves in the best possible way and let their passion for music or the show that they're going to do, because some were sports, some were talk, some were music, to let them that passion come out. And we got to a comfort level, and Chris will talk about this, and Darcy too, and now Alicia. But you get to that level where all of a sudden you're not thinking about the board, you're not thinking about the operations, you're thinking about your show, and that's where the show really takes off.
Now, Darcy, you share your program online, often with yes. Facebook Live. Is that how you find some community engagement?
Oh, absolutely. And I have a lot of people that'll watch on Facebook, you know, because I'll air it live and I'll even do a clip, or sometimes if I have a guest, you know, or a band that's coming in, because I literally pack that little studio in there with like full live bands, like drum sets, you know, 88 key keyboards. We get it all in there.
I've seen that happen, yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, packed. And, you know, actually... I have to attest, all the bands love the sound in that studio, which is a great testament to John Ramsey and the job that he does with the studio, because, you know, all I do is I mic that studio with all the mics that are in there, and it just sounds supreme.
How do you select the bands and or the musical acts, and how do they find you?
All different ways. I've been around musicians mostly all my life. So either in one capacity or another, you know, from being a teenager, we had a fort in a milk room on an old dairy farm. We actually had a player piano up there, and we found a way to get electricity and everything else. We, you know, it was like primo. So I've been around music all my life, and local musicians. So I had a neighbor who used to record in his living room on a four-track. And so I have watched so many original musicians really work hard at their craft, and I love providing that platform for them. And then the new businesses and the local businesses that are in this area. I like to have them come in and let us know what's going on. When a new business opens downtown, I immediately approach them to see if they would like to come on. Sometimes people are like, no, I'm afraid to talk on the radio. And I just convince them that we're going to have a conversation and those microphones are just going to disappear. You know, don't worry about it. I'm not going to let you fly out on your own. It's going to be all good, you know. So, yeah, it's about community, and that's what I love about the WAPJ Torrington's platform being community radio, because I could never ever do this on mainstream radio.
Wow, that's, and you know, community engagement, Alicia, that's right up your alley. This is what you do, and
she's phenomenal.
I've seen a dramatic increase in public awareness for WAPJ since you've extended your time and talent to that effort.
Well, I don't know that I can take all the credit for that, but I'm glad to hear that, because that's our hope. I mean, you know, let's make ourselves more visible and get the word out there for those that may not be familiar with us. And it's so great, like doing Main Street Marketplace, things like of that nature, having people approach us, say, oh, I listen to you guys all the time. You got a great show. I listen to this. I just tuned into this show. I didn't even know you had it. So it's just so nice to hear that, because that's why we all do this. We love what we do. And to hear someone appreciate that, it's all we need.
Everyone at this table appreciates the efforts that you do, getting the word out there. With and not only do you do that, but then you also have your own program.
I do. And I have to thank John Basso, who is actually my neighbor, lives a few doors down from me. And I knew that he worked here. I wasn't really familiar with WAPJ, but I knew that he worked here because I saw there was a newspaper article about his being sports director and joining here. And we talked a little bit. And then I had done college radio, and I did an alumni show. Apparently, you know, occasionally we do that. I posted it on Facebook, and he heard it. He said, why aren't you on WAPJ? Why don't you come join? It's like, you know, community radio station, it's volunteer, it's a lot of fun. Why don't you come on down and, you know, I'll get you an application. He did. Sure enough, he brought an application to my house and filled it out. And here I am now after going through orientation and training through the illustrious Barry Susie. And, you know, because he just has the best demeanor for training. And, you know, despite the fact that I did it in college, I hadn't been regularly doing any radio, so I needed the training, and I'm just thrilled. I'm so happy to be part of WAPJ. There's such cool people to work with and such an eclectic mix of music, which is, I think, one of the many reasons why the community loves us.
We'll be back in just a few moments here sharing the history of WAPJ. Welcome back to WAPJ. We're talking with the music broadcasters of WAPJ. I'd like to bring back Chris Lavallo in this part of the discussion. How do you select the music that you do, and specifically, tell me about the house band?
First off, my musical selection is just my love of music growing up. I got that from my mom and my dad as well, and both of my brothers. And it's mostly classic rock. But like the British Invasion, and like I said, all kinds of music. And some days I'll put my playlist together, spur of the moment, and there's other days I'm doing it weeks in advance. You know, thank God for Microsoft Word, you know, I got all my playlists in there. And I like to get my listeners involved. We have the house band is Paul Revere and the Raiders. You can't hear that band on commercial radio, and they had a lot of hits in the 1960s, and they were originally the house band on a television show on ABC called What's Happening, I think, or I think that was the name of the show, but it sort of spun off on that. It was a copycat, and I go from there. Like I say, you can't hear their music on commercial radio, and they had a lot of good songs, and I like to have fun with that, and I also have a thing called the Chris's A to Z All-Stars that I top off each show with. They're my hardcore listeners, and got people out in California listening. Johnny Wheels from Palmdale, California, somewhere near L.A. That's a standing joke. I always name him last, and I have listeners in Boston and New York State, I had a friend of mine who was stationed in the service. He was in Puerto Rico. He goes, oh, we listen to you online. Your station is great. So it's like all the other DJs have said here, we have an audience basically all over the world with the internet and the way we stream. And
do they communicate you through the internet or usually through phone call, Facebook, or email? Facebook
and text messaging. Yeah. We get the messages from, get people involved.
Barry, do you hear from people from far and away about the programming on WAPJ?
I have. There have been times when especially when I was doing my folk show, somebody would text me or hit me. Oh, we didn't even have Facebook back then. You know, we didn't use a Facebook page back then. We weren't streaming. So, but a lot of my interaction was from phone calls, especially with my folk show. But since I've been doing the morning show, I get a lot of, you know, I'll post some information about, you know, voting polls, because that was something we just came through with the elections.
Mm-hmm.
And people they'll share it or they'll respond to it or like it that are posting that information. And then I'll get anywhere between, you know, 3 or 4 phone calls to maybe a dozen in the morning. I've had listeners call me up saying that they liked my show and they're calling from Philadelphia. I mean, how do you find, you know, a show like the Miscellaneous Morning Show on a local radio station in Torrington, and that's the show you prefer, and you live in a big city like Philadelphia? So it's kind of cool when you get to hear stuff like that, because you really don't know who's listening and you don't know why they're listening. And so when they do reach out to you, and it's not often where somebody from the outside of the area will listen. But when they do and they reach out to you and then they tell you why they're listening, that really, you know, and you all get that phone call once in a while. Mm-hmm. And you all are like, all right, I'm doing something right.
What song was that?
What song was that?
Why don't I know who they are? Yeah, who is that and why don't I know who they are? And usually on my show it's because they're local. They're not big box.
But then they discover that particular talent. Then they can follow that particular talent. Now, Darcy, one of the things on your program that's so great is that you not only give them an opportunity, by them I mean performers, to come in and showcase their music, but you allow them a good chunk of time to be able to do that. So it's not just a song and out. It's you know, they do have a chunk of time to not only talk about their music and about their process, but then they're able to share it with the listening audience.
Yeah, and I think it's I think it's great, and I give them a chunk of time because they do a lot of work to come in here and set up. You know, sometimes this room that we're sitting in now, which is very large, will be full of equipment. You know, so, you know, I like to give them some time. I don't want to have them do all that work, you know, and come in and be like, oh, yeah, play 2 songs now. You know, thanks a lot. You know, you know, so I do try to give them a chunk of time. And we also talk about, you know, their roots, where they came from. How did, you know, I find out about the band to let people know what they're about, you know, where they get their inspiration from, or, you know, where do they hail from, you know.
Right, so. Right. And people from far and away are able to then discover that particular talent that happens to be from Connecticut. But, you know, all of the bands came from somewhere.
Well, and they're not all from Connecticut. I have some bands that have come in from New York, Massachusetts. I mean, they've made treks from Rhode Island, you know. So the word gets out, actually, that there's this opportunity. And I'm, you know, this show here, there's not a whole lot of shows where the local artists go in and play. There's a couple others I know around the state, one at WESU and different places, you know, other community radio stations. But, you know, so the bands love it. And I'm, you know, I have a band scheduled to come in on Monday. And I've had anything from single artists, and all genres matter. So, you know, that's one of my hashtags, all genres matter, you know. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter what genre they're playing, you know, as long as they keep it clean. You know, I tell everybody radio edits, you know, make sure. But I get the artist from all over the place. Sometimes my Facebook stream, somebody will say, how do I get on your show? And I'll be like, oh, well, you just did. So, you know, I'll contact you with some dates, you know, or I'll just run into people at different places, or they get referred to me, like folks like yourself. You referred Lexi White to me.
Certainly.
And, you know, and other people will say, oh, contact Darcy, because that's what she does. So, and I'm happy to do it.
And
Kayla Farnham. Yes, she's awesome. Right, Miles. Yeah, she's a, you know, we had a blast. I love it. So keep sending them. Keep sending the CDs. I tell people, get your music in my hot little hands, and I will play it on the radio.
Absolutely. And Alicia, we just brought up Facebook. You know, when I was asking about, you know, where people are hearing WAPJ, perhaps on Facebook you can't necessarily tell if they're local or if they're in Canada or anything, but are you aware of any particular you know, locations outside of Connecticut that have reached out to you through any of the means of social media, or by the very nature of Facebook that doesn't really work that way?
It doesn't really work that way. I do this is a friend, but I have a friend in Florida that listens and will Facebook, you know, message me and say, hey, can you play this or that? So that's kind of cool for me, just that connection. I mean, and, you know, Facebook, obviously, and social media is a great way to do that. But I think it's just great to hear. We've heard people mention that, oh, I was, you know, in such and such a store, heard WAPJ. And I know myself personally, I will get Instagram messages, you know, on my personal Instagram, or Facebook messages saying, hey, what about this song? You know, people that are getting in, joining my bandwagon here to play songs on my show. So it's kind of a nice way to stay connected with, you know, friends or not, you know, they're all our friends here. That's at WAPJ.
And
so it's a nice way to know that people are listening and engaged in our station.
And friends who are listening, they are an audience.
Exactly.
That counts as an audience.
It doesn't
audience.
Discount them because I know them. They, you know, it's even better, I think.
And through that, and through connections, they're able to share that music with other friends of theirs. And
yes.
Then build an audience that way.
Yes, that's what I think, that they say, hey, listen, my friend's got a show. You should hear it and, you know, play it, so.
Barry, what do you attribute the success and growth of the Miscellaneous Morning Show in terms of the growth of the audience? You know, you do take on you know, different genres of music in sharing that, and you also have some really interesting guests that come on.
Oh, well, just recently this morning I talked to Ricky Bird, who was part of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, and he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2015.
Fantastic.
So I just recently had him on the air talking about his program to recovery and his work with the McCall Foundation and personal recovery and all these different things that he's doing right now. So we had him on. I think people like the show because I like the show. And you know, I think that if I go out and I do the best I can each and every day, and I keep the music fresh, and I think that people respond to that because, you know, it's tough when you're doing a show, and you guys will attest to this. You don't even know what you said half the time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm going through that right now.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you hear your you know, somebody will bring up a comment to you, and I go, I don't remember saying that. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, so people like it that you're having a good time, that they respond to that. And I let the passion come through for my community, too. I think that is a large part of the Miscellaneous Morning Show and a lot of the programs here. We really focus on the community. And I think people want to find out what's going on in their community, their own communities. They're not quite sure what's happening sometimes. And I'll bring that to them in a positive way. I heard somebody say one time that you know, I was talking about Torrington Titans baseball when they were still here in the area, and they said, "Man, you sound like you're the biggest fan ever of the Torrington Titans." And I go, "That's what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm supposed to do." So that's why I think the Miscellaneous Morning Show, to whatever degree it is, it has a success to it, and it's part of the community.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I also like the fact that you never know what to expect next with the music.
Right.
When he was training me on his show, and I remember there was something, and I'm like, oh, I played the wrong song. And it was, like, so way off from the song before it. It was just like, whoa, I'm probably, you know, like, tripping over a speed bump in the ears. And he's like, that's why it's the Miscellaneous Morning Show. You can do that.
My wife, Stacy, came up with the idea, and I think I played the weirdest combination I think I ever played was Frank Sinatra and Great White Buffalo. I played, you know. And somebody called me immediately and said, what the heck was that? And I said, don't call it the Miscellaneous Morning Show for nothing. So.
Exactly. And if I could add to what Barry just said, he likes his show. I think everybody here likes their shows because you can hear our listeners are smart and they know when you're having a bad day and when you're having a good day. And they try and do your show with a smile on your face and some mm-hmm. enthusiasm. And when you do that, I think it really resonates. I think Mike had said it earlier. You play a particular song or tell a particular story or maybe a joke or something like that. If you reached out and you touched someone who might have been having a bad day and turned their day around, that type of thing, that's sort of what we're here for. It's all about our listeners and
we've
the community.
All gotten that call. Mm-hmm. And said, man, thank you for
Absolutely.
Playing that song. You don't
sure.
know what kind of mood I was
mm-hmm.
in.
Yep.
And you just like, well, thanks for listening. You know, I'm glad yep. I could be there for you today.
Yeah, we can help you. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great way to end our segment. When we come back, we're going to talk more about that community engagement and more about ways that you use your show to share your vision with the rest of the community and help the community in many different ways. We'll be back in just a few moments here sharing the history of WAPJ. Welcome back to WAPJ. We're talking with the music broadcasters of WAPJ. Darcy, you know, we were talking about community engagement, and we were talking about how you use Facebook as one of the many means that you can reach out to your community. What is one of the musicians and events that really stand out for you, and from a perhaps a personal level?
Well, you know what? I've got to say, one of the ones that stands out and actually kind of paved the way for the format that I use now is Someone You Can X-Ray. They're a band that hails from like the Middletown area, down in that area, and a little scattered. Some of their members live up here. But they showed me what you could do in that studio. They were like, I'm like, well, we can get you in here to play maybe a couple of years because they have a large band. They have a 5-piece. Mm-hmm. So they came in, they looked around, they're like, we've played bars smaller. We got this. And they had a sound guy with his own board and everything else. Like, they had a sound guy that was, like, jockeying around. He had his thing going on. He was running out. He actually went out in his car to make sure and listen to make sure it was coming out right. I mean, it was like they literally paved the way for the format that I use now. So, like, I know that I don't care what your band is. I can get you in there. Drums, 88, you know, keyboards, guitars, amps, monitors, you name it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, you know.
Now, with Chris, we're sitting in a room that's full of LPs of the classic records. When you're doing A to Z, do you have a particular preferred method of music resource?
Normally CD, and I go through one of the online music services as well. I have an account. That's where I do most of my requests, and. Mm-hmm. Once in a while, I play some vinyl. When I first started the show, I was gung-ho. Oh, we're going to have the Chris's A to Z vinyl track of the week. But I've gotten a little bit lazy to that, and I'd like to go back to that a little bit.
Well, I kind of guessed that you did use vinyl within your programming because
yes.
it would seem to fit
first I did.
Very, very well within your particular show.
Definitely.
Now, it's A to Z. What made you think of that idea?
Originally, I wanted to name the show Uncle Buck's A to Z, but The person who trained me said, yeah, there could be a licensing issue there, and why don't you just use your own name? Think of something. And I thought of that. Yeah, Chris is A to Z. That sounds good. And we arrived upon that.
Barry, we get a lot of recommendations on your training and lots of...
And yet we're still on the air, so...
And he has a hand, I think, you know, he helped me with my name, too. We were sitting there throwing out names for the show, like a whole bunch of them. He's like, yeah. So we kind of took a vote.
But something that's a through line for every single broadcaster that I've talked to is that idea of professionalism and wanting to get better at what they do, to improve with every show, and I think that stems from the passion that you have when you train. When you train, you show that this is an important, thing to do. It's in that passion that is brought forth to other people who then take that same professionalism to heart.
Well, where I got that was from Tony Henry when I first started here at WAPJ, and Mike Roots will tell you that. Mudcat will tell you that Tony asked you to be as professional as any air jock on FM radio or AM radio. He asked you to be as professional, and I carry that because I think it's important that you realize that you're not here to be a buffoon. You're not here to be to fool around. You can have fun, do your job, do your volunteer work well, and still have a good time. And that professionalism, people say, oh, you guys really sound like you should be paid. You know, it's because we strive to be as professional as we can. Our talent allows us, and our shows allow us. Darcy has morphed her show into something a lot different than when she started.
Yeah.
And it's her professionalism that allowed her to do that. Chris has changed his show a little bit over the years, too, where he was very regimented with his playlist. He would go through, you know, in order, A, B,
right.
C.
Right.
Well, he's really, with his professionalism and the hard work he's put in, he can expand on that and not miss a beat. Mike Roots will do that. Mark Hart, Joel's done that. You know, these guys, they act professional because that's what we put into them almost when they sit down in that chair for the first time.
And one of the things that I like about the question that you just asked and the topic we're talking about is, we record our shows here. A lot of us do. I know I do. And I put a CD in, and I listen to it every week. And what mistake did I make this week? What can I do better for my next show? What did I mess up on last week? What did I mispronounce? Which thing did I miss? And it's a big help when you have something like that. It really is. And it helps with the professionalism. Try not to take yourself seriously, but take what you're doing seriously, because we do have people listening to us.
Absolutely. Do you have a particular favorite moment for your particular program, or was one of your favorite moments the very first time you sat in the chair?
I think it was the very first time, and I'll never forget it. My brother introduced me. His show was on before mine, and he stayed with me the first time, and the rest, as they say, is history. And now my favorite moment is each week when I come in here and sit in that chair, because you never know what's going to happen, and it gives you something to look forward to.
Do you think about your shows when you're not on the air?
Oh, absolutely. I'm always thinking about my show, and because I constantly go to shows, I make sure to see live music at least once a week, if not two times. I mean, I saw, and I emcee stuff. You know, I emcee events. I emceed a fundraiser for Marfan Syndrome 2 weeks ago, and it was put together by a local musician that I've had on my show, Corey Raymond, and he put it all together, and I emceed it. So it was like, all right, I got to see nine acts that day. Yay. The next day I went and I saw two more. I went to a house concert, then I went to, another place and saw another, band. So I really try to get out.
So you mean this could be fun, too?
Yeah, this is a lot of fun. I mean, it's work. I burn the candle at both ends. You know, there's no doubt about it. But I enjoy it, so I'm always thinking about my show. Always, always.
And Barry, do you think about the show as well? Or when do you find that people find you and just associate you with WAPJ? It's like Barry Soucy, WAPJ.
When I did my folk music show, it was only on once a week, so I had actually time to plan. When I would talk to the artist, I would write down some notes about their story that I wanted to tell that went along with the song that I was going to play. So there's a lot more prep time because I was doing a show once a week. Do I think about my show during the week? Yeah, I do, because I want to know how I can make each segment better. I mean, I had Patricia Martin on, who's a poet and an author, and sure. Of course, I forgot to ask her to read a poem. You know what I mean? Here you have.
Yeah.
So without putting any thought into it, those moments happen more often than they should. So you try and think about putting together the show the best way you can, and be prepared for the unexpected.
And every guest presents a new show in and of itself, depending on what their topic is, or, you know, if I have a seasoned group in, or if I have somebody that's just starting out like Lexi White, you know, it's a different show. Sure. And has a whole different feel to it, you know, and I love them all. I mean, they're all one, you know, it's all great, but they're each a little bit different.
Each a little bit different. That's fantastic. Same for A to Z. It would seem to be by definition that every show is different.
Every show is different. Every show is the same, but every show is different. And one of the seasons that I like doing A to Z on, it falls on Thursday nights, is during the Main Street Marketplace. And yeah. We do the live remotes, the cut-ins down there. And I just enjoy the banter with Barry and Alicia and Darcy and whoever else might be down there. And it's fantastic. You hear from the listeners, and we interject, and we go in and out with the conversation, and it's a lot of fun.
We'll be back in just a few moments here sharing the history of WAPJ. Welcome back to WAPJ. We're talking with the music broadcasters of WAPJ. I'd like to follow up with Darcy and with Barry. Live events, you've both, to a certain degree, whether it's you're emceeing one, Darcy, or Barry, with your with the Main Street Marketplace, you were a featured VIP individual during one of the at the Main Street Market.
Got the purple carpet and everything.
Yeah, well, you know, I tell people I win because I had Gloria Gaynor as my musical guest. But, you know, she really was the highlight of that evening. And it was a lot of fun. There was a lot of people down there. But at the same time, then I'll turn around and then we'll interview Congresswoman Esty, or we'll talk about State Representative Michelle Cook. Mm-hmm. Or we'll talk about the people that put together the Main Street Marketplace. We'll talk to the mayor of Torrington. We'll talk to different people that are out and about, and we try and get them in as much as you can to let people know that, you know, some people do care about what's happening in Torrington.
Absolutely. And you do it in your way with communicating and helping others communicate their messages, like when Lynn Gelmarino from the Warner Theater comes in to talk about what's going on at the Warner, mm-hmm. when Sharon Widener comes in to talk about what's going on in Torrington as a whole.
Yeah, and then we get stuck with Bob the Irrelevant.
I was just going to say that, Bob the Irrelevant.
I love Bob and Fortune Cookie Friday.
People ask me that all the time. They go, "Do you know Bob?"
is the assumption that he just wanders in on his own and grabs a few minutes?
No, but he's the star for 12 minutes. He's the star, yeah. And I'm just the trained monkey pressing buttons. But it's just a lot of fun. Yeah. And so people, they'll tune in just to hear Bob.
Sure.
And he does his research for his segments. He really does. He takes it very seriously. Yeah.
He is a
One Friday that I sat in with you guys when Jenny was still here, we never laughed so hard in our lives and had so much fun with Bob and the four of us.
It was, you know, and that's what I try and do. I let my guest be the star. If I, you know, when, Darcy, you do this, and Chris, right. you've had people on too mm-hmm. a little bit, where if I don't let my guest be the star or be the expert on what I'm bringing them in for, Lynn Gelamina from Torrington's Warner Theater, I could read a list of events. Right. You know, but right. I let my guest be the star
sure.
for
it's
that segment.
Yep.
Bob the Irrelevant Factman is the star for 14 minutes, 12 to 14 minutes on Fridays. Pam Drzewicki on Tuesdays for 30 minutes. They are the star of the show for that 30 minutes. And I that's how I do my show. I mean, I could read facts. I mean, that's not the hardest thing in the world. But to bring them in, to let them be the expert, to let them shine for a few minutes. And to me, it's more fun. Because I get to sit back, and now I get to learn something.
It brings a humanistic side to it too, because it's coming from that person. It's not just you're reading
right.
facts, you mm-hmm. know. You know, so I think that's great. I love having the guest in. That's the way.
It's a lot more fun.
It is, and it's just entertaining. And I agree with you. Let the guest be the star of the show, because that, you know, that's what it's about. This is community radio. And we are here for the community, mm-hmm. you know, and to be that outlet, because I have certain community-based organizations that will contact me anytime they have something going on. The Lions Club, Kiki will call me. They got something going on. You know it. I will get you in. You know, I'll get them in. Community Health and Wellness Center is another one that will call me up anytime they have starting a new program, or they want to have a new doctor starting or something like that. Absolutely. Call me up. Gotcha. You know, we'll get you space, no problem.
Well, it seems to me, especially with what you shared earlier in our conversation, the girl who was growing up with the clubhouse that had the music, there's a sense of community there as people got together to share music. And that's something from childhood. That's what you're living today. In a sense, one's truest self is what
yeah.
they had it in childhood. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah. Yes, actually. I think it's everything I've done up in life, you know, up to this point all culminates to the moment you're in now. So, and, you know, I also have a son who's a musician. So it was like I honestly couldn't have gotten away from it if I wanted to. And it probably wasn't until, you know, my mid-30s, maybe late-30s, that I actually realized the place I wanted it to play in my life and where I wanted to be in it.
Yeah.
You know, so...
And with you, Chris, you've had a brother who was already in the radio industry mm-hmm. as well. When you were younger, is that something that you wanted, that you gravitated towards?
I did. I never really wanted to do it until later on in life, like I'm doing now. But yeah, I always had an interest in radio and how things worked. And like Barry said earlier, you're learning something. We're always learning. That's what I like about this place. I think everybody can say when they were 20 years old, they knew it all. And
yeah.
now we're much older, we don't know anything, and
yeah.
we're still learning as we go on, you know. And that's one of the things I like about here.
Barry, as we close our panel discussion today, talking about professionalism, what do you hope WAPJ, you know, image within the community, it's standing within the community. What do you hope for WAPJ in the future?
Kind of what I'd love to see WAPJ become is that radio station. When you think of Torrington, you think of WAPJ. You know, you can't hear about an event unless you're listening to WAPJ. You can't, you know that we're going to be hearing that football game on Friday night. You know we're going to be during the basketball game on Tuesday or Thursday night. You know that we're going to be talking to politicians. You know we're going to be talking to dignitaries. And when you think about what's going to be happening in Torrington, the Main Street Marketplace, you want to think of that's what I hope. And that's why I strive to get these guys to be, well, when I was still a program director and training people, that I wanted them to be the best that they could, because you never know that moment where somebody can go, I just found the perfect radio station. And to me, that's important. And I think that that's what I envision WAPJ becoming is, you know, not a radio station in Torrington, but a radio station of Torrington.
That's fantastic. I think that's a perfect way to conclude our panel discussion. I just want to say that it is an honor to be a part of that family of broadcasters who are putting themselves forward to help that vision, because I think everyone who is a volunteer at WAPJ shares that vision of building WAPJ and making it a voice for the community and beyond. So I want to thank Barry Soucy. I want to thank Chris Lavallo. I want to thank Darcy Abbott, Alicia DeLibrio. Thank you for being a part of this panel discussion.
Thank you. Thank you for hosting.
This has been a panel discussion of the history of WAPJ and its historic 20th year. We hope you enjoyed the chat. Fantastic.
Mark Channon has been the operations director of WAPJ since 2011. In addition to his work on WAPJ, he has been broadcasting on 91.3 FM WWUH for 28 years, hosting a jazz program on Thursdays for 23 of those years. Mark Channon is also the station manager of WIHS Radio in Middletown, which is Connecticut's largest Christian radio station. Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter, Mark Channon.
Thank you. So nice to be here.
So, Mark, you obviously have a wide variety of experience in radio. What was your first interest in radio? When did that first spark for you?
Well, actually, it goes back to when I was a kid in our neighborhood. We would get a bunch of us together, and we would set up some equipment, and we would do these mock radio programs. And then when I got into high school, I was developing a little bit more. After high school, I went to Connecticut School of Broadcasting and did some things through there and continued to do things at home, but didn't get into radio into any capacity until 1989. And that's when I started over at WWUH doing fill-in jazz things. And my dad was my high school band director in Simsbury, and he's the one who put the love for music inside of me, particularly in the jazz industry, because he was a writer for some of the big bands like Buddy Rich and so forth back in the 40s during the big band era.
Really?
And so anyway, I have done the jazz thing over at WWUH on Thursdays for the past 23 years, as you have mentioned. And then started here at WAPJ in 2011 when the station changed hands, and I've had a long relationship with the general manager here at WAPJ, John Ramsey, for all of those years that I've been over at the University of Hartford. So he said that he wanted me to be his right-hand guy, so that's what started here. And then a few years later became the station manager down in Middletown. So it's been, for me, it's been a steady growth going higher and higher.
And after 28 years, obviously this interest of yours is going to stick.
I think so, yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So when you were younger, you would create in your, you know, in your imagination, different radio programs that you would put on the quote unquote on the air, but just for your friends.
Sure.
Now, was it playing music, or was it more of talk, or was it old, you know, like thinking of stories, old time radio type things, even though that's not really your era, but what were you imagining at that time?
We were kind of mimicking what was on the air at that point. And at first we would just kind of do them, and it was a lot of fun to do. But then as things went along, I started recording stuff so I could hear it back. And it was after I went to Connecticut School of Broadcasting and certainly learned things there about delivery and so forth that made a bigger help and a bigger impact on things. And then, of course, getting into radio production also, because I do a lot of production work here for WAPJ. And I do it actually at all three stations, but primarily here for at APJ and at at WIHS, we'll do production work there too. So yeah, it's all goes back to those early days.
Absolutely. And now for WAPJ, you're the operations director. How is that different from a station manager? What's the delineation of functions and jobs for the two?
Well, the way that it's set up here is I'm doing a lot of things behind the scenes, even though my voice is out there every day on the sponsorship reads and a number
Absolutely.
Of other things that happen. But I'm doing a lot of work behind the scenes in coordinating our orientation program. So as people are contacting us, expressing an interest about coming to the station, I'm working with them to get things set up. And then when we have our orientation sessions, as you know, I'm one of the facilitators of that. At the same time, I process the mail every week, and I'm doing correspondence back and forth and lining up other details that probably nobody else is even aware of, but taking care of business that way.
When you have new recruits, new people who are interested in becoming broadcasters on the radio, is there a common theme? Is there a common phrase that they say to you when they're embarking on their radio journey at all? Or is each individual journey different for the individual person?
Well, I think that a lot of times they're coming in with an idea of a finished product that they would like to do already. The problem is that they haven't, if they don't have any experience, they don't know what it takes actually to get to the finished product. So that's what we do in the orientation session, is to say, okay, now we need to kind of back this up here about what does it take to get from where you are today to where you want to be. And so that's probably the most common thing, is they're already seeing the finished product, and some of them don't make it. They don't make it across the finish line to get where they ultimately wanted to be, because it turns out the process or the whole way of doing it is different than what they thought. So they kind of lose interest along the way, or they say, oh, this is too big a hill to climb. However, we have some great success stories here at the station of people who really have stayed with it. Some of them have worked very hard for a long time before we let them get on the air. Mm-hmm. So it's been rewarding to see those things come together and to see our staff grow and to see things really take a greater importance here, a role in the community.
And for someone such as yourself with decades of experience, clearly an interest in radio and then to make it work shows that there needs to be a dedication and a huge time commitment in terms of committing oneself to providing quality before you actually go onto the air.
Yeah, and certainly we want to have the best product that we can, and there's always room for improvement, even on the things that I'm doing. There's always room for improvement. So if we can give some tips along the way and encouragement to people that are here to help them, hey, you know, here's a little something that you could think about doing, or you could add this, or maybe you shouldn't be doing this, those types of things are always very helpful.
That's fantastic. What would be a recommendation that you would say for somebody who is new, but somebody who has an interest in radio? Do you have any thoughts or words of advice that you would give to that person starting out?
Well, any port in the storm. I mean, if there's an opportunity for them to get involved in some level, that's great, particularly if they have a work ethic and a commitment to doing some things that are greater. We have a young man down at WIHS who is, I guess he's around 30 years old. Now, he's got a full-time job in Farmington, and he's working for us part-time right now. But the job that he has is every other weekend from 6 o'clock Saturday night to 6 a.m. Sunday morning. It's an overnight slot two times a month. But I'm seeing great potential in him, and so now we're going to step him up and start using him for news voicers, and there's some other areas where I can see we can use this guy. He's already got editing software proficiencies as far as doing radio spots and all that kind of stuff. So we, you know, I'm seeing some great potential here with him. But anything that you can do to get in and to just start contributing and letting the management see that, hey, you've got something to work with here.
As we conclude our conversation with Mark Shannon, who is the station manager of WIHS, he is also the operations director of WAPJ, has been since 2011. I'd like to talk about the 23 years of hosting a jazz program. Is jazz the music that speaks to you, that you enjoy, that you enjoy sharing with other people?
Well, I go back to when I was a kid. I was probably 12 or 13 years old, and I got together with some neighborhood buddies and stuff, and one in particular, friend, we started listening to rock and roll music together and so forth. Now, you have to understand that my dad was the guy who started the music program in the town of Simsbury. Music educator, the arts was where he was at. Okay, so one day, and I remember this very distinctly, I think it was a winter's night, he came home after teaching at school, He walks past my bedroom and he sees me in there listening to rock and roll. Went in, took off his coat, put down his briefcase, came in and sat down next to me on the bed, and he said to me, "Let's listen to all the things that are not happening with this music right now." And very methodically, very simply, took it apart, took the song apart that we were listening to, and started to explain to me the shortcomings that were there. Quite frankly, that was a watershed moment, because what he said made so much sense that I stopped listening to it.
Really?
Yeah. Now, yeah. About a year later, it was Memorial Day 1976. We're getting ready to march in the two parades that always take place in Simsbury, one in Terrifield, one in Simsbury later on in the day. And a kid came in who was a year older than me. My dad had these powerhouse sound systems in the band room and the choral room and stuff. You turn it up in Simsbury, you could hear it all the way out here in Torrington. He was big on that. So anyway, this kid comes in with a Maynard Ferguson record and drops the needle down on that thing. And when I heard that, that set a whole new course for me of contemporary big bands, because it was a sound like I had never heard before. This was not the nostalgia, Glenn Miller kind of stuff. This was very hard-driving, exciting stuff. Maynard Ferguson, quite frankly, was the door for a lot of people to get into jazz because of what he did. He appealed to the young people so much. Well, anyway, that began this quest of contemporary big bands. And quite frankly, the big band industry only had a run of about 10 years, but it never went away. The whole big band trajectory had not only continued to grow, but is still continuing to grow now. It's just suppressed underneath the pop music. So anyway, there are these contemporary big bands that are out there today, and some of them are phenomenal bands, but they just can't afford to tour and that kind of stuff. It's very cost prohibitive to be able to take a big band out on the road. So it was my dad who was the driving force in getting me to listen to that music and interested in it, so much so that I became more the influencer of him.
Wow.
Years later, he'd come over to my house. We'd have these listening sessions. He'd be, okay, what's the latest thing you got for me and so forth. And then I started working with the big bands, the military big bands. I've produced about 50 big band concerts across Connecticut, some of them right over here at the Warner Theater, and a lot of them through our military that have the absolute finest musicians on the planet. Anyway, I went into WWUH with an idea of nobody's playing these contemporary big bands. You listen to jazz programs, it's primarily small groups, vocal groups, that kind of thing, or you have these old nostalgia big band programs. But who is playing these contemporary big bands, many of which people have not heard before? And there's more big bands out there today than there ever have been. Every high school, public high school, has a big band.
That's
back
right.
In the big band era, forget it. They didn't allow that kind of stuff because that was dance music. You know, that was terrible. Every college has at least one big band. Some of them have more. University of North Texas has 9 big bands, and it's a focus down there. Anyway, so there's more big bands out there today than ever. I just have uncovered them and have got them out there wide open for people to be able to listen to on WWUH Thursday mornings. And it's really gone well, you know, as far as the returns that we've gotten from people when it comes to fundraising, what comes in on that program and so forth.
That's an amazing story of being able to, starting out, having the education from your father, clearly an expert in his field, the field of music, and to get to that point where now you are an expert in your field and your field of expertise also in music, and you have become the influencer, not just for him, but for generations of people who listen to the program and enjoy it.
When I was a kid growing up, people would say to me, "Oh, are you Mr. Channon's son?" Years later, it turned around where people would say to him, "Oh, are you Mark Channon's father?" So that's how it went.
That's a wonderful testament, and a testament that any parent and father and son would enjoy that dynamic. That's fantastic. It's a fantastic pleasure talking to you, Mark Channon.
Thank you so much. And thank you for what you're doing here at WAPJ. You brought a great dynamic in here with these programs that you've done that are of interest to everybody.
This is an exciting 20-year anniversary of WAPJ.
Yes, it is.
And it's only going to get bigger and bigger, and I'm excited to be a part of that.
Great.
Thank you so much for being on Nutmeg Chatter.
Thank you so much.